want to take us tonight to the book of Judges, not my favorite book, because it's a book of where a people that knew God really backslid over and over again. But, oh, I like the book of Judges. I like all books. But anyway, Judges chapter 17, verse 6, one verse there we'll begin with, which really characterizes the whole old book. This one verse does, and will as well, the same verse is repeated in the last verse in the whole book. But the book of Judges, it was a time when Israel had strayed from God, or their spiritual leadership was gone. Moses was gone, Joshua was gone, two great leaders, but yet they repeated a sin cycle over and over again. There were about seven different cycles of sin, repentance, restoration, and then they would fall back into the same thing again. So Jesus said in the New Testament, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's New Testament. This is Old Testament. So there's nothing to go back to once you know Christ. But Judges chapter 17, verse 6, we'll begin there. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." That's a dangerous place to be in, where there is no spiritual leadership at all. Father, I pray that you'd bless the word of God tonight. Open our understanding, our heart to the things of Scripture, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some believe this book was written during the time of Samuel. It was during the time when judges would rule and God would raise up a judge when people got backslid and they'd cry out to God for help and God would restore them. He'd call somebody to be the judge. And so it was a time it was an awful time, really. This describes the era of Israel's history after the leadership of Moses and Joshua. And those are two men. You know, if you wanted to be associated with somebody good, it would be them. You know, Moses led Israel all the way from Egypt into Canaan's land, to the edge of Canaan's land, and Joshua helped Israel cross the Jordan River, and they conquered walled cities. They tore down giants and giant cities and walled cities, and they did, and God used them, and God helped them to do the impossible. And they had just come out of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of their unbelief. But God showed that through the people that wandered 40 years, they all died in the wilderness. And God showed that their sons and grandsons would conquer Canaan's land, and they did. It's a powerful thing if you read through the book of Joshua and find out that God just time and time again just conquered them, did the impossible. Praise the Lord. And so God's still doing the impossible. When he conquers things in your life, he's doing what we can never do. But there was no leadership there because Moses and Joshua had died, and now God called them to continue to follow him no matter what. And they were to continue to take the land. Now, under Joshua, they had taken the land of Canaan, and each one in Israel had received their inheritance. Each of the 12 tribes had received a portion of their inheritance. But now there still were enemies in Canaan's land. And they would still have battles to fight. And let me tell you something. Canaan's land is not a type of heaven. It's a type of salvation because there's still battles to be fought. And once you're saved, amen. We know that God, Jesus conquered all at the cross. He conquered death in his resurrection. But yet there's still an enemy out there. I think that's pretty obvious as we go on. However, we don't have to live in fear, but we can live in faith that God will help us to conquer whatever enemy may come our way. But God commanded Israel to stay close to his word. And if you want to turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to read some scriptures there, and I'm going to read enough where it's worth you turning to. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in Deuteronomy, it's just really a Moses before his final words. He's just going over what all God did. It's basically a review of all their history from Egypt until Canaan's land. Okay, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, or verse 4, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this speaks of there being one true God, only one true God. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, basically the Ten Commandments and the expansion of those Ten Commandments that God gave. Verse 6, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. He said, you shall take them, these words, teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Do you get the idea here that God wanted His Word to be visible everywhere? They would be reminded of what God said wherever they went, and wherever, when they came in the house, when they left the house, and when they talked to each other and had conversation. They wanted God's Word to be central to their lifestyle. Okay? Verse 10, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Now I want you to notice the type of salvation here. Cities that you did not build. Verse 11, houses full of good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Think about salvation here. We can earn nothing of salvation. We haven't worked our way to salvation. It's all been provided for us, just like Canaan's land here was provided by God. But it says, when you have eaten and are full, verse 12, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. So they were to not forget. God had got them where they were, and God had given them houses to live in, vineyards to harvest and fruit and oil and all kinds of trees, and all whatever they needed was there. And it was truly a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything they needed to survive was there. Everything they needed to be blessed and prosperous there, it was there. Amen. God had provided it for them. And God told Joshua when he entered the kingdom of land, he says, I want you to do this. In Joshua 1, 8 and 9, I'm going to get to Judges here in a minute. But Joshua 1, 8 and 9, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God is saying, if you'll follow my word, you're going to be a successful people. God's going to bless you, and you're going to make it. And then he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we can take that promise for us today. We have God's word with us. We can meditate on it. We can think on God's word. Amen. You can listen to God's word. You can read God's word. Amen. You can get God's word just about wherever you want it here in this own country that we live in. We're blessed people that we can go in a dollar store and buy a whole Bible for a dollar. And we have no excuse for not knowing what God's word says, really. But to be continually reminded of what God is saying, we need to read our Bible every day. Amen. And so God says to those people, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You say, well, they didn't have a printing press then. No, they didn't. But God said, the words that I command you, you're going to know them so well, you can write them on the doorpost of your house, and you can talk about them when you walk by the way, and you can speak of them everywhere you're at. And so they would constantly have their minds filled with truth instead of all the lies of the Canaanites right next to them. Okay? And so you and I are the same today. We should fill our hearts with the things that are good for us, that will help us spiritually. And so they were in a time when there was no king in Israel. If we get back to the Judges, book of Judges. There was a time when there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And they did not continue to follow the book of the law. They did not continue to meditate in it day and night. And things happened to them, and God allowed things to come upon them so that they would repent and turn back to Him. You know, and I've often wondered, and especially as a younger person, why idolatry was such a temptation. But as I'm older, I see how it is with everybody still. Temptation is idolatry is whatever you put in the place of God or put before God. And you can't put anything in God's place because nobody can equal God. Amen. And so they would be a people that they would become confused, and then they would turn back to God, and they'd realize, oh, yeah, I quit serving God. That's why I'm in the mess that I'm in. Yeah. So there was a time when there was no spiritual leadership, and when there's no leadership, there is confusion instead of that. And people don't know what they believe. You could see that in our world today. People are confused. Man, we call it the difference between Democrats and Republicans. They're just confused. A few other words would help, too. I won't go to any length to get adjectives for all that. But it says, even in the church world, God, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The same is true when a church departs from God's word, then a confusing gospel, which is not a gospel really at all, takes place. And I've written some very strong things here. But all behaviors are accepted as normal when you get away from God's word. It's just like every man did what was right in his own eyes and didn't consider God. Okay? It is. And so we see behaviors today, and I know preachers have harped on this. It should be a little bit, but you know, all behaviors are accepted as normal. Today there are gay churches. There's sinful activity that's no different from the sinful world system that we live in. Because God's word sets a standard for Christian behavior. It needs to be preached in the church. And today, gay lifestyle is taught to be as normal, that you were just born gay and you can't do anything about it. That is a fat lie. It's not the truth at all. And it's taught that all people should accept gay marriage as the new normal. Let me tell you something. It's not new. It happened in the Old Testament way back. And it's surely not normal. Transgender curriculum is being pushed to corrupt this generation and all the educational institutions in our country. And we wonder why we're in the mess that we're in sometimes. I'm going to tell you something. You can't mock God or turn away from God and be blessed. It don't work that way. Amen. God clearly taught in the Old Testament the blessings of obedience to his word. And he clearly taught the curses of disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28 will tell you all of that. Amen. And if Israel would follow God's law, I want to tell you it would rain on their crops. They would have bumper crops every year. I mean, their cattle and their cows and their calves, their cows wouldn't miscarry and their people wouldn't miscarry, the mothers. And so they had the blessing of God there. But when they begin to stray from God, it's like the heavens became bronze, the word of God says, over them. And it's like it couldn't rain if it wanted to. Because they had strayed from God and the blessing of God was no longer on them. And so their crops couldn't produce and they couldn't have the food that they needed to eat and to feed their families. And if they strayed away from God, I want to tell you the curses of disobedience are awful. If you read them there in Deuteronomy 28, I won't take time to read them all. Or any of them, but I trust you can read, so you will sometime. And so we want to be under God's blessing and not under his curse. And as a church, we want to be under God's blessing. But God requires us to behave like a Christian. And you say, I'm not trying to make you feel like you're on the edge of hell, but I'm trying to tell you tonight that that's just what God's book says, God's word says. To be close to him. And so if there is no set standard for us to live by, then we revert to Canaanite behavior. Okay? But God's word is very clear on all this. There's no transgender with God. God wasn't confused when he created humanity. And let's read what God says about it. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Notice the pronouns there, our image, our likeness. So we're talking about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See the Trinity here. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so that's the way God made us. God didn't make us transgender. God knew what he was doing when he created us. And in Genesis 2 and 7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Okay? And Genesis 2, 21, the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which he had which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. My friend, that just solves all problems to me. I mean, I don't care if it's male or female, can kick a football or do this or that better than the other, and what race, you know, or gender. But God made man to be man, and made woman to be woman. And so, I don't think it takes very much. If you want to believe what God says, you just believe what he says. He made it. And so we don't want to stray from that at all. Well, it's just like Israel did here. They began to not read God's word and began not to obey God's word. And after a while, they backslid and turned away. And God had to raise up deliverers for them. Okay? Because everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What good can come out of a carnal nature? Not anything. Only sinful conduct can come from a people who have no sense of right and wrong. Because you see, if they did not obey God and did not let God's law be continually in their heart, they would just begin to think that everything was sort of okay. Amen. And so, God's word clearly defines what sin is. It didn't say that this is sort of sinful or that. You know, it either is or it's not. And so, the book of Judges clearly shows what happens to a society that has no fear of the Lord left in them. And this book covers about 4 centuries, and God raises up judges and deliverers every time the people would cry out to God when they realized they were under the curse of God. And they began to cry out. But after a while, when things level off a little bit, then they would go back and begin to adapt to the lifestyle of their godless neighbors. And in the book of Judges, 7 different apostasies are taught here, 7 servitudes, 7 deliverances, and each cycle has 5 steps. They would become first involved in sin, and then they would be overcome by their enemies and have to serve their enemies, servitude. And then they would call upon God, they would supplication, they would call and cry out to God. God would send a deliverer and save them. And then there would be silence or peace for a few years. And that cycle repeated itself over and over again. And you see, well, that was then, and we're better than that. No, we're not better than that now. The cycle of sin still goes that way. People can serve God for a while, backslide, and realize, hey, I'm in trouble, and then turn back to God. And there's people that do that over and over again. You shouldn't do that. Amen. You should learn from your failures. God does forgive, and God is merciful, and I'm glad that he is merciful. But they would go back to depravity, everyone doing what was right in his own eyes, and that's not the way you want to be. Because the enemy is going to put things in there, and there's always going to be things in society that people say that are right and say that are okay, but they're not okay. We need to learn to examine things by Scripture. And so I think today is, it's not a day to be ignorant of God's Word. It's a day to open and read God's Word, and not that you don't have to be a Bible scholar or anything to understand what it says, but you do have to read it. Amen. You have to put it in your heart. And Galatians 5, 19 through 21 gives you a whole list of the works of the flesh. None of them are works of God. They're works of the devil. They're works of the flesh, the carnal nature. And then he gives you, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he gives 23 gives you the fruit of the Spirit. There's a huge difference there between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. As a matter of fact, you could preach a whole series of sermons on the opposites of those two. Anyway, so God, it's not like we don't know or we don't have any, or we're not able to understand or comprehend. I mean, one fellow said, you know, that living for God is just mind over matter. No, it's not that. Somebody said, if you don't have a mind, it doesn't really matter. But God gives you a good mind. And so here we find that people repeated over and over again. There's many good sermons in the book of Judges. I love them. You know, you can get sermons on Samson. God used a mighty deliverer. Samson judged Israel for 20 years. I mean, he's not the kind of guy you want to fight with. You just kind of want to leave him alone. So he picked up a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines with it in one, just one time. Last of all, he pulled down a whole building and killed all the lords and the leaders of the Philistines. And so God used some powerful things, and people, the Spirit of God would come upon various people. But you know, friend, the Spirit of God can come upon us and help us to live a holy and a righteous and a pure life, or that we don't have to go through the curses of disobedience, but we can live in the blessing of God. And God wants to bless his people. That is the high priestly prayer. God bless thee, keep thee, cause his face to shine upon thee. The God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the priestly prayer in the Old Testament. But I believe God wants to do that. Amen. And so God will tell us what kind of behavior he doesn't want us to have. Amen. My parents are very clear on what kind of behavior they wouldn't put up with. And I remember one time my brother, my older brother's 10 years older than me. But when it come to grades on a report card, if you didn't pass, you were kind of in trouble at home. And my brother made a D in one of his classes. And he had a friend of yours, his, to change just a little bit to mark it through and make it look like a B. But my brother got caught. And he got a whipping for it. And it scared me because I was a little kid and I scared me. I crawled under the bed to get away from it. I didn't want to hear, I could not. Because he lied to my parents first, and then he changed it and lied again about it, and told him he didn't change it, but he was in big trouble. Anyway, but he's still alive today. Good man, 74 years old, something like that, 73, about your age, Brother Jim. I think his heart's still good, too. Anyway, so there's a lot of things, but we don't want to be under the curses of God. We don't want to be at odds with God. And if you read through the book of Judges, you'll find you don't want God to be angry at you. God's not in any way trying to get angry at his people. God loves his people. As a matter of fact, God, I don't see how God puts up with what he does sometimes. And I don't know how he puts up with me sometimes. You know what I'm going to say next. Now, we all have failures and faults. We need God's mercy. And I'm glad he is merciful. Okay? So that was an age when everyone did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king in Israel. I want to tell you something. One of these days, there's going to be a king on this earth, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's going to take this world and transform it to where evil and sin won't be a possibility. Amen. And where that the devil will be stuffed in the lake of fire forever. Amen. And so, and they're not going to be any demons running around trying to get you to do things that you shouldn't do. Amen. Praise God. Why didn't God just fix it right now? It's not any of my business when he does or what he does. He's never asked my advice on one thing. He's God. He knows what he's doing. Praise God. And so I'm thankful that he does. Praise the Lord. Anybody got any questions or anything you'd like to...